New worries about the European debt crisis and whether it'll spread to the U.S.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Today's Wall Street Journal reports U.S. banking regulators are pushing to make sure some of Europe's biggest banks keep enough money in the vaults of their U.S. divisions. It's in an effort to keep the European debt crisis on that side of the Atlantic. Here's Marketplace's senior business correspondent Bob Moon.
European banks that have a U.S. presence answer to the Federal Reserve here, and they're facing a simple but serious question. Is there enough money on hand to fund day-to-day operations in a crisis? They're reportedly also under pressure from the central bank to essentially turn their U.S. units into self-financed organizations. Big European banks that do business here have lately had a tougher time finding cash. Researcher Daniel Martin of the Economist Intelligence Unit blames fear of those risky loans their parent firms made to European governments.
When banks become uncertain about other banks in terms of what kind of things that they're holding, they become reluctant to lend the money. Do you really want to lend a bank money when they've got things like that on their books?
That could result in a freeze-up similar to the one that crippled the global financial system 3 years ago, which is not what financial markets want to hear.
A new story like this obviously isn't good, especially since it was banks that tended to be hardest hit by that crash last week.
A repeat of that is exactly what the Fed hopes to avoid, provided the mere mention of these precautionary moves doesn't spook investors even more. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Economic woes of late have global money flowing to two stable and secure places, gold and Switzerland. But the Swiss are getting tired of it. The Swiss franc is now so strong that people in other countries cannot afford Swiss goods, which is threatening Swiss jobs. So the government there is battling to devalue its currency. The BBC's economics correspondent, Andrew Walker, is with us now. Shall we call him our currency war correspondent? Hi, Andrew.
Hello there.
So the latest skirmish is in Switzerland. Why is the Swiss franc facing so much heat?
Because it's seen by international investors as being a kind of safe haven, somewhere stable to put your money when there are worries about other major areas. And of course, the euro area is one example where the concern about the government debt crisis is spooking investors quite badly. And then for people looking at the US dollar, there's of course the fact that the Federal Reserve has committed itself to keeping interest rates low for a long time. That suggests that the returns on investing in the US economy might not be so good. So they look for somewhere else, and the Swiss franc is the one that's taking the heat. And when people are buying so many Swiss francs, that means its value has been going up relentlessly.
But Andrew, Switzerland isn't the only country trying to devalue its currency, right? I mean, so if we're in the middle of a full-scale currency war, what does that mean?
I wouldn't say we're in the middle of a full-scale war just yet, but there are some certainly fairly heated skirmishes going on. And the other big example of that has been Japan, which intervened in the currency markets very heavily. It basically means there are some countries who are seeing their values of their currencies rising, making their industries less competitive, and they want to limit the extent of that. The reason it's happening is because of events in the United States and Europe. Some people say that in the case of the US, it's a deliberate attempt to push the value of the dollar down to make America more competitive. But whatever the underlying reason, there's no question it's making life uncomfortable for many other countries.
The BBC's Andrew Walker. Andrew, thanks.
My pleasure.
Let's do the numbers. European shares are much lower today. The FTSE in London is down about 2%. In Frankfurt, German shares are down 3.5% right now. Same for Paris. And Wall Street yesterday managed a few gains. The Dow tacked on a mere 4 points, but closed at 11,410.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. And by Allianz, insuring more than 80 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
Later today, the National Association of Realtors will release how many pre-owned homes were sold in July. Well, since the housing bubble burst more than 4 years ago, prices are still falling in many parts of the country. Some markets, though, are weathering the downturn better than others. Here's Marketplace's John Dimsdale.
One of the best housing markets in the country is right here in Washington, D.C., and S&P's David Blitzer says you don't have to look hard to find out why.
The U.S. government is a fairly stable employer, doesn't shrink massively during recessions, so it gives the whole area a fair amount of stability compared to other parts of the country.
Like, for example, Detroit, where foreclosures and falling home prices continue to depress the market.
The economic base that had been provided by the auto industry up until 5, 6, 7 years ago is largely gone.
Blitzer says home prices are still falling where the speculative bubble was the biggest, Sunbelt cities like Miami, Phoenix, and Las Vegas. But in the Midwest, which didn't see much of a bubble to begin with, Kansas State University's Tracy Turner says home values haven't fallen as much.
There tends to be less pressure from fundamentals such as income growth, employment growth, population growth than in the coastal cities. And there are fewer geographic restrictions than in the coastal cities.
And when home values fall below what buyers owe, people can't move to where the jobs are, says IHS Global Insight housing economist Patrick Newport.
It's one of the reasons why the downturn has lasted so long. You can't sell your home because you're underwater, and if you're deeply underwater, you're stuck with the job that you have and you're stuck with the home that you're living in.
Until job seekers are more mobile, he says, unemployment will remain high, keeping home values low. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And finally, the Transportation Security Administration is trying something new and different at Boston's Logan Airport. Screeners are training to engage with passengers more to detect suspicious behavior. They'll learn to make small talk with travelers to break the ice and foster a little trust. You know, some conversation about the weather or that new Katy Perry song. Or a couple of benign questions about where they're traveling to and why, or how come the bag has more than 3 ounces of liquid. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The national debt. It's a big, ugly number with a lot of zeros on the end. It's getting us into some trouble, too. So how do we feel about all that money we owe?
It's a necessary evil. It has to exist. It's what this country kind of runs on.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Good debt, bad debt, next time on Marketplace. Today's business news and the numbers from Wall Street as well. It's from APM, American Public Media.